This is the TSG Multimedia Podcast for January of 2024. We're sponsored this month by Podomatic and the TSG Train Crew on Patreon. Thank you very much. Happy New Year. I'm John, and this month we're celebrating our 14th year of continuous podcasting. I started this program as an audio-only podcast in January of 2010. It transformed over the years, first into a shorter how-to-style video show, then into an interview show, and eventually into what we have now, which is a monthly magazine blog style with elements of all of the above, produced to keep you up to date with what's been going on around here so you know what to expect in terms of content over the coming months. I like to think one of the cool things about it is that you never know what to expect. But you know, it'll be worthwhile, whatever it is. January has become our year-in-review month over the past few years, and this time is no different. In this show, I'll go over 2023 in review, including tons of prototype and model railroad topics and events like layout tour shoots, op sessions, the YouTube meet-and-greet that included a tour of the Union Pacific steam shops, and of course the ongoing work on Southern Pacific 260 number 1744 out in Niles Canyon. You'll also get some ideas about not only the kind of content that's coming, but also a few changes that'll be happening this year. So let's get into our time machine and jump all the way back to a year ago. So last January, we had a chance to document the San Ramon Valley Branch portable N-scale layout at an exhibit in Concord, California. This layout represents a lot of rich local history and is very much worth experiencing either on the layout tour video right here on the channel or in person if you're lucky enough to be in the area when it's on display. I also went to Niles Canyon to document restoration work being done on the frame of the 1744 that I just mentioned a minute ago. And at the end of the month, we went to operate on Glenn Sutherland's Sierra 1923 layout for the first time. This was worth mentioning because ever since I had a chance to document the layout, I'd wanted to participate in an op session there, and I'm happy to report that it did not disappoint in any way. Early February was highlighted by the Layout Design and Operations Weekend. Once again, I helped with the virtual side of this production. I think it's important to continue the pursuit of hybrid events because a lot of people who would normally attend in person can't do that anymore. Moreover, it's a great way to bring new people on board if they can attend virtually now and then come in person next time. February also marked the completion of my N-scale long-distance Amtrak train. That was a fun project where I added DCC and sound into two P-42 DC locomotives and then lit up all the coaches, including lighting up the marker lights on the rear of the train in a way that I've never seen done before. If you're building a similar train in HO or N-scale, this series is worth a look. In March, we went back to Niles Canyon to document the first day of steam operation for the season. It was particularly memorable because we were right in the middle of a series of huge rainstorms, the likes of which we haven't seen in this area in decades. But the train ended up completely full despite the challenging weather. We also documented the train layout of Tom Davis, who does three-rail O-scale modeling, and the most interesting part of Tom's layout is that it includes a lot of custom scratch building, and that's something you don't see often in three-rail O. Definitely worth checking that one out if you missed it. March also marked the beginning of the battery conversion of a garden-scale Climax I have. This multi-part series has been trickling out on the channel recently and could be very helpful to anyone who's considering dead rail operation, really in any scale. March and April were connected by a trip to Colorado where we visited the Royal Gorge Railroad and then covered the Rocky Mountain Train Show live for both days in their entirety. This was particularly challenging because I had to create a way to live stream for hours on end using a combination of a computer, two phones, and a pro camera. I came up with a solution that worked out quite well and was able to pull it off. And of course, it was a train show, so there were a lot of manufacturers showing off their wares, as well as a ton of friends to be made. Later that month, we volunteered at our regional NMRA convention to produce the virtual portion of that event. In May, I entered the N-scale long-distance Amtrak train that I just talked about into the SBHRS model contest and won third place. I'm guessing there were only three entries, so I'm not tooting my own horn here, but it did mark the first ever model contest that I've taken part in. Work also continued on the Garden Scale Climax project, with the goal of running the model at the Fern Creek and Western Garden Railroad eventually when it got done. I mention that because of something else that would end up happening later in 2023. The biggest highlight from May was our trip back to Colorado for the YouTube meet and greet. This was a gathering of people from all over North America to do 3 days of train-related activities. This was a great example of meeting people we'd only known virtually, only to find out that they're just as great in person as we expected, maybe even better. A big shout out to Michelle Kempema for doing a huge amount of the planning for that event and graciously hosting us once again. At the conclusion of that event, Sydney and I were able to visit John Parker to document his awesome BNSF HO scale layout. That layout tour alone was worth the trip, and you can see it here on the channel. I went to Salt Lake City in early June to visit my friend Alvin, and while I was there, we chased some trains and recorded 3 layout tour videos that were delayed for a couple of years due to the pandemic. It was a great opportunity to make some new friends and visit some old ones, and I want to take a second to thank my shakalaka bro Alvin for helping out with the productions, arranging a visit to the UTA shops, and hanging out. Sadly, it was also in June that we learned of the passing of our friend and TSG train crew member, Eric Child. This is important because Eric owned the property where the Fern Creek and Western was built. If you've been following this channel, you know how big a part the Fern Creek and Western has played here.
It has its own playlist with probably at least a dozen videos on it.
The National Garden Scale Convention was held in our area in early July, and it was all hands on deck to get the Fern Creek and Western ready for it. Not only was there an open house, but there was also an op session held for convention attendees. In mid-July, we traveled to Southern California to document 2 layouts, the one at the Santa Susana Depot and Gary Siegel's L&N layout. It was kind of a homecoming for me because I was able to go see the house in Simi Valley where I lived for the first 5 years of my life. The people from the Model Railroad Club were awesome to work with, some of them for both layout shoots. And we also documented the museum side of the Santa Susana Depot, which has a full recreation of a station agent's office and living quarters upstairs. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention another highlight of that trip that had nothing to do with trains at all. We got to hike with my friend James Carey, who's a bit of an expert when it comes to native bee species. That was another example of meeting someone I had only known on social media and finding out that they're just as great in person as they are online. In early August, I went to Niles Canyon to document the Ring of Fire being used to put the new tires onto the wheel sets of 1744. That was especially cool. I mean, how often do you get to see that? August was rounded out with a video shoot at the San Benito Southern Garden Railroad. In September, we attended Rail Fair at Ardenwood Historic Farm in Fremont. This is an annual event that goes on over the long Labor Day weekend. That same week, my friend Robin had me over to his place to make a video showing off his N-scale steeple cab project. Robin does a lot of what I call things you don't see every day, and this one is right up with Robin's other N-scale projects that we've shared over the past few years. We had more op sessions to round out the month, including our first ever op session at the Central Vermont layout that's owned and operated by Paul Weiss. October was a bittersweet time, as the last 3 official events that would close out the Fern Creek and Western, at least as far as the public was concerned, would take place. I documented all 3, starting with the op session that came out last weekend. The final two events from the Fern Creek and Western will come out this month and next month, respectively, culminating in March with a huge send-off on the channel here, which will consist of the Ultimate Layout Tour and a live show dedicated to Eric and the Fern Creek and Western's 9-year run. They did some pretty amazing things there over the years, and I think that deserves to be highlighted. In November, we started what I call the slow season, with just a couple open house events to attend. It's always around this time of year that I hunker down and start editing a ton of the content that was shot over the busy season, which leads us to December. I was honored to have Tony Cook and Jennifer Howell on for December's Talking Trains show on the 20th. Tony was kind enough to share some of the history behind train sets, which led to some interesting discussion about how train sets can be instrumental in cultivating an interest in model railroading in people of all ages. A definite worthwhile watch if you missed us live. Hi, so this is one of the few model railroad related things I'm doing this month. Having an op session at the R&D Railroad, that's Dave Lovelace's railroad. I've been here before, I've talked about it a lot here on the podcast. R&D is not research and development, it's rawhide and duct tape. So I got an invitation, and everything else this month, as I've mentioned on here, has been editing. So should be fun, it always is. Something I didn't mention earlier is that I've brought James with me today. You remember James from the Silicon Valley Lines. And he's never operated here, so I asked Dave if he could come operate. I'm sure there's always. Dave has very low standards. I mean, he lets me come here, so he's like, yeah, bring James. That's all right. To be clear of the
meeting. Don't break anything. That's basically what he told me, so I think that's easy enough. It was a great time, you know. I hadn't done car cards really like that before, so it was a good learning experience, but also it was really chill, you know. The second job that I did was by myself. It was the Walker Street switcher, and it was just low key, you know, really straightforward and easy to figure out. Then I jumped into a harder job, and unfortunately the session ended before I could finish it. But it was a great time overall, and I look forward to going back.
What are your impressions of that car card ops, like compared to switch list ops, like what you do at SVL?
Honestly, I feel it's kind of easier once you set everything out, because it's nice. You can take the card, you can set it by the car and say this one goes with this one, whereas on a switch list, you know, the second you turn around, you lose where you're at on the paperwork. But I enjoyed it probably a little bit more than switch list, honestly. A little bit of a learning curve, but overall I felt it was better.
Cool. Huge thanks to our buddy Dave Lovelace, too, for having us out again.
I appreciated it.
On December 25th, I joined our friend Sparky, briefly, on his annual live Christmas stream to support the stream and also to give away some DVDs. This has become a very worthwhile tradition. Thanks so much for giving people a place to hang out, Dave. It means a lot to the community, and it also means a lot to me. I keep getting questions of what's happening at the Fern Creek and Western, and this is where we met. This is the first time I've been here that it has been in this kind of a state, and I asked these guys if they wanted to talk about what's going on here, because that's the question I keep getting asked. So I guess if you want to give them an update, the viewers, and let them know what's going on there, because this is all going to be gone soon.
Yep. Well, so I've been back in Oregon dealing with running trains at my railroad, Real Railroad, for a while now, but now I'm finally back home. And with all the events completed that many of you are going to see in upcoming videos, it's finally time to, as Paul says, pull the Band-Aid and start packing the railroad up. As we started just after Christmas, and we are now almost done with packing up all the cars. About half the locomotives are packed up. Then we'll do buildings, and after that, the track comes up. And by the time this airs, which will be January 6th, the railroad will be in transit to its storage location. So basically, we have from today just over a week to completely dismantle the rest of the railroad.
and there's been a lot of progress. One of the first things you notice when you walk into what used to be Coon Gulch, or I guess it still is for now.
It is.
Which is the staging area in the garage, which we're standing in, and the workshop, is that all the rolling stock is gone, and it's a lot of rolling stock. Where did you put it?
Oh, well, what has boxes are back in their box, but some of the equipment does not have boxes, so we're putting them in very high-strength storage bins and properly packaging them with bubble wrap and all sorts of other cushioning to keep them safe.
We don't want to put it away with 5 years of dust, which most of the cars have accumulated on them. So kind of we'll start with just spraying them off with some air, which gets a lot of the cobwebs and stuff that have grown from sitting underneath in our storage area and getting a lot of the surface dust off. And then a lot of the cars have mud spots and things of that order. So we've been taking a damp towel and getting rid of all those mud spots that we don't want to sit there the whole time. And any dust that doesn't come off with the air, we'll get with this too. And we just want to put them away in a fashion where they're not completely dirty. And then it goes and gets sent off to Lauren and Trevor, and they look over the cars and make note of anything that might be broken or missing. And we add that to the spreadsheet. So next time when the cars come out of storage, we'll know what to fix on them.
We start off by highlighting all of them. And as we checked it out, figured out what was wrong with it, we would unhighlight it, add all the things that we need to work on, and then note whether or not it had its original box or if it's in one of the bins. And if it's in a bin, we're going to say what bin it is.
What you're seeing here, I would say, represents about somewhere in the neighborhood of 2/3 of the rolling stock we have. We've been going through and labeling them with what car is in it. So if it was a box car that was just painted unlettered, it now says Fern Creek and Western 417 or something to that effect. We've had help from Paul and Dan and Wes and all sorts of other people here, my dad, who've all been helping to get this done quickly. And it's actually incredible, sad in a way, but incredible to think of how, you know, 9, almost 10 years of work can come down in basically a week and a half.
It's almost kind of eerie how empty it all looks. And what's even stranger is to think of it's all going to be gone. In a week, all the track will be gone, everything. And this yard will never look like it did again. It's kind of sad, really. But at the same time, I'm also really excited about what the future will be for this railroad when it eventually gets resurrected somewhere. Signing off from the Fern Creek and Western. We were in Santa Cruz to rekindle a tradition we started prior to the pandemic, getting together to watch the Holiday Lights train that Roaring Camp operates out of the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk during the holidays. Normally, Sydney and I would arrive in Santa Cruz early and visit with Eric, and then meet up with Trevor's parents and check out the festive train that Trevor would have been working on. This year, we still went to Eric's house, and we still went to check out the train, but somehow it just felt a little less festive for me.
In 2023, we shot a record number of layout videos, and I'm still not done editing them, even now. It's a nice problem to have because I like to release one layout tour each month, and I have them lined up well into 2024. I want to mention a couple of cool milestones surpassed over the course of 2023. We surpassed 250,000 likes or thumbs up, which is pretty cool. I didn't even know someone kept track of that, but I got a notification last January when it happened. Then in June, we went over 60,000 subscribers, and we're on pace for 70,000 in 2024. And then finally in November, the video about logging inclines eclipsed 850,000 views. I'd like to see it become the first million view video on the channel in 2024. That'll be pretty cool. So I want to thank all of you for these things. I've been saying for years that this channel has the best audience in all of YouTube, and I mean that. I'm especially appreciative of our patrons on Patreon, so I want to take a second to thank all of you on the TSG Train Crew. Without you, none of this stuff happens, and I'm really grateful for your friendship and support. Now, I've been making plans for events in 2024, and right now we have a few things on the radar. One of these, of course, will be the NMRA National Convention and Train Show that's being held in Southern California late this summer. I also have a trip tentatively planned to go to Northern Oregon to document the Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad during the summer. We also have our regional NMRA convention nearby in April, for which we will be producing the hybrid portion, as well as the Bay Area Layout Design and Operations Weekend early next month, for which we're doing the same. And by the way, both of these events will be worth attending in person or online, so please sign up for them if you haven't already done so. I have links in the description of this video that you can use to sign up, and they both have early bird discounts for registration. It's not terribly difficult to bring events like this to people who can't go, you just have to want to do it. And the best part is that it's not limited to any region or country, or continent for that matter. Anyone with an internet connection can attend virtually and participate in the camaraderie that takes place right there in the virtual space, while also being able to experience clinics by people who want to share their passion for a great hobby. So 2024 is going to bring a few changes in the way I'm doing things around here. First up, the daily catch. If you've been watching, you'll remember that there was a daily catch usually five times a week, almost every week during 2023. Now, the format of these short form videos changed over the course of the year, based on feedback from the audience, going from just a plain Jane run-by for a few months into a run-by with a date for a few months, and then finally a run-by with the location, date, and a brief description of what was in the video, like the locomotive type and road number and that kind of thing. This year, the daily catches have already started to be published in the form of what YouTube calls shorts. A short is a video in portrait perspective that lasts less than 1 minute. I have the first quarter all scheduled and plan to take a good look at how this different style of video performs on the channel. I'll be evaluating those sometime in early March to decide if I need to make any changes for the second quarter of 2024. Something else I'd like to do more of is how-to videos. I've done a lot of these in the past, and I always have a lot of fun with them. The problem I have is with choosing a project and then actually getting it started. It seems like once I get over that hurdle, I always have a fun time and learn a lot doing something creative. You can also expect Talking Trains to continue once a month on the third Wednesday, as it has been. We'll be running those shows with guest co-hosts for the foreseeable future. Now, I'd really like to get a permanent co-host, but I don't want to impose on anyone to do it. So if you have some ideas about someone who would make a fantastic co-host, let me know by sending your pick to podcast@tsgmultimedia.com. And now for the catches of the month. Our first catch comes from Andrew Johnson from the UK. This shot was taken on December 3rd. This is the Brooks No. 1 departing Moor Road Station on the Middleton Railway in Leeds. That's in the UK, in case you can't tell by the photo. Andrew said it's rare to have snow there, so it's a pretty unusual shot. This video clip also comes from Andrew, and it shows the LMS 460 Black 5 Loco 44871 departing up the stiff bank out of Keithley. And now a shot from John Crisanti. This is a pair of Montana Rail-Link EMD SD70 ACEs powering the ML train out of Big Timber on June 24th, 2022, with the Crazy Mountains providing the background. John will be our featured guest on Talking Trains this month. That'll be on January 17th, by the way, to talk about his recently released book about Montana Rail-Link. Put that in your calendar now. If you have something you'd like to share, please email it to podcast@tsgmultimedia.com. Be sure you own the shots and include the what's, when's, and where's of the shots you send in. There's always a sense of renewal for me this time of year, and it's nice not only to look forward, but to also look backwards with gratitude for all the wonderful people that we've been privileged to meet along the way, many of whom have become great friends. I hope you had a relaxing holiday season, and I'm looking forward to 2024 with you. We have some fantastic events coming up, and getting to make new friends is always worthwhile. I want to also shout out a huge thanks to the TSG train crew for helping support my work. As I said before, without them, it wouldn't be possible for us to create the content that you enjoy here. If you can spare a few bucks a month, please add your support by joining the TSG train crew today by going to patreon.com/TSGMultimedia. A few bucks probably doesn't sound like much to you, but it helps us a lot, and I wouldn't ask if it didn't make a real difference. So with that, the first podcast of 2024 is done. Thanks so much for watching, and I'll see you next time.